Welcome to Evangel. Great to see you here this morning. Hope you're keeping well and encouraged. Would you stand with us? We're going to lift up the name that is higher than every other name. Amen. The name of Jesus. Come on, let's lift our voice to Him. Give Him the praise that only He deserves this morning.
Your name lifted high, oh God.
You have done great things. You have done great things. Singing hallelujah above it all.
Hallelujah, God.
Unshakable.
Hallelujah, you
have done great things. We're singing hallelujah. Righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Not in Zion till salvation comes. These are the days.
And these are the days of Ezekiel. The dry bones becoming his flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide in the world. Hey! We are the laborers in your vineyard, preparing the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, not of Zion's hill salvation. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Join with me and sing this.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Come on.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God
like Jehovah. Lift it up.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation.
Behold,
shining like the sun. Have the trumpet call, lift your voice. So here a jubilee, that is Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. Now sing.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like
Jehovah. Come on, sing.
With one voice.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Oh, sing.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation.
One more time.
Behold, he comes, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Good to be worshiping together this morning. Amen. Why don't you turn and greet one another? Welcome them to church today, and then you can find your way to your seat. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. It is so good to see you here today for church. If you are new here at EPC, I want to extend a warm welcome to you. We are glad you are here with us. And in the church, or in the chair pocket in front of you, is a church connection card. We invite you to fill that out so that we can get to know you. We can come alongside you. If you have any prayer requests, we would love to extend a helping hand in any way we can. And if you fill those out and submit them to the information desk on your way out in the foyer, you will receive a small gift for being here this morning as well. So we encourage you to do that. Just a few quick announcements this morning. The first one is next Saturday is our scheduled property cleanup. We want to get our church property ready for the summer, and so we have it scheduled from 10 a.m. to noon next Saturday, the 27th. If you are able to be there, we would love all the hands that are available to help us get our property ready. If it does rain, if the weather isn't agreeable, we are moving the date to May 11th, so we will keep everyone informed as of what's happening, but if the weather is good, we will be here next Saturday, and lunch will be provided for all in attendance as well. Speaking of lunch, this Wednesday, we are starting our annual hot dog lunch for the high school students at Blakelock, just down the road. It is a great event that we provide free food to the students for. There are some lunch times last year where we reached up to 90 students we were able to give free lunch to, and with everything so expensive these days, it's who knows how far a free hot dog and a drink can go for a student in need. So please be in prayer for this event. If you wish to give towards the hot dog purchases, then you are free to do so via e-transfer or in your offering envelope. Just be sure to write down hot dog lunch in the memo. In 2 weeks' time, we are hosting our annual overflow fundraiser. We are doing a barbecue lunch to raise money for our students to go to our annual youth convention on May 24th and 25th. So the hot dog, or the barbecue lunch is in 2 weeks' time on May 5th after service. You can start signing up today at the information desk, and you can pay as well starting today. We just take note that we are not taking payments on May 5th. So if you want to purchase a lunch for you and your family, please make sure to pay by next week. Or let me know and we can set up a time for you to bring your money to the office. And we are taking cash only payments, so please keep that in mind. But you can sign up at the information desk. $10 a person gets you a choice of hot dog or hamburger, also chips and a drink with that. And this is, again, this is all going to our overflow youth convention so our high school students can go with reduced cost. Ideally, we'll bring the cost all the way to zero for our students to attend. It is exciting this year as we are bringing, I am bringing our biggest attendance for overflow since I have started here. So it's very exciting that way. But also at the same time, a lot of the times when students come home, you hear about the late nights, like how late they stayed up, all the junk food they eat, how many games they played. But what's really cool about these events is these events are really places for God to encounter our students, for our students to encounter God and for God to touch their lives. We actually heard a testimony of that last week during our baptism service, where one of our students mentioned that it was at Overflow last year where they decided to follow Jesus. And so this is what you are giving to. These events are for students to encounter Jesus. You know, the late nights, the food, everything else is secondary, but these events are really for our students to have an amazing encounter with God. So I encourage you to sign up for a lunch starting today at the information desk on your way out after service. And then for our students, grade 6 to grade 12, just so you know, we are meeting Thursday night at 7 p.m., so you can get ready for that. It's just going to be a games night, a good social, so if you have friends, this is going to be a great time to invite them out. And just to give you an update on Pastor Jennifer, last week Pastor Shannon mentioned that she was going through various health issues and recently had a surgery on her bowel, and I just wanted to give an update from Pastor Shannon about Pastor Jen. And it says, after a significant setback in her recovery midweek, Jen has improved and was released to go home. She is progressing well in her recovery as she follows post-op guidelines. Pastor Shannon is away today, but will be back in the office this week. But he just wants to say and extend thank you for the prayers for Pastor Jen in this time, and continue to pray for her recovery moving forward. And we will pray. We love Pastor Shannon and Jen, and we want to make sure that we can do anything we can for them during this difficult time. At this point in time, we're going to dismiss our kids. If you have a child ages 0 to 4, the nursery is open all throughout service, and volunteers are there ready to watch your children down there. But kids grades 1 to 5, you can meet your teachers at the side and be dismissed for Kids Church. As the ushers, I invite you to come forward and collect our morning tithes and offerings. And as you do that, I would like to turn it back over to Jono for worship. God bless.
I love you, Lord, for
and all my days I've been held in your hand. The moment that I wake up until I lay in my head, I will see of the goodness of God. Come on, every voice, if there. All my life you have been faithful. Thank you, Jesus. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness. All my life, Lord, all my life you have been, Jesus, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. You're good. 'Cause your goodness is running. Your goodness is running out. He's running out to me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Oh, your goodness is running out. He's running out. Come on, stand with me. Your goodness is running out. He's running out to me. Your goodness is running out. He's running out to me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Oh, your goodness is running out. He's running out to me. Your goodness, Lord, your goodness is running out. He's running out to me. Your goodness is running out. He's running out to me. My life laid down, surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running out to me.
And all my life.
And all my life. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Just your voice, all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all.
from beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, 'cause nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, 'cause Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you.
Jesus, be the center.
And Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. Beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus, 'cause nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Yeah. 'Cause Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Nothing else, 'cause nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Oh, oh Jesus, 'cause Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around Jesus, you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about. From my heart, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all. From my heart, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about, all about.
Yes, it's all about.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Come on, let's make this prayer. Jesus, be the center of your church.
And Jesus, be the center of your church. And Jesus, be the center of your church.
In every knee.
And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus,
we sing his name.
And Jesus, and Jesus, oh, we sing Jesus, and Jesus, oh. Jesus, 'cause nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, 'cause Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus.
There's nothing else.
'Cause nothing else matters. 'Cause nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Yes, it's all about from my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. I just want to speak the name of Jesus, and over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus,
till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus,
your name,
'cause your name is power, your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Sing this out.
I just want to speak. Fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Say it again. I just want to speak.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and over fear. To every soul captured by depression, I speak Jesus,
'cause your name there is power, Lord, 'cause your name is power,
your name is healing, your name is life. Every stronghold, shine through the shadow, and burn light.
Your name, your name is power.
Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow, burn a light.
Shout Jesus.
Jesus from the mountain, and Jesus in the streets.
We'll sing.
And Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the whole. Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, oh, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. For your name has power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn light. Break every storm. Shine through the shadow. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Burn like a fire. Burn like a fire. Spirit of God, burn like a fire. But your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name brings life. So Lord, bring your power. Lord, release your healing. Release your life. We receive your power. We receive your healing. We receive your life. Go ahead, wherever you are in this morning. Just open up your heart to the life of God to flow through your body this morning. Bring every power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Lord, release your power. Release your healing. Bring your life, Lord. Lord, we thank you that your name is more stronger and greater, more powerful than anxiety, than worry, than depression, than any disease. We thank you that your name has power. We throw ourselves upon that name this morning. And everyone said, amen, amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning, church. Thank you. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully today. Well, it is my joy to introduce our guest speaker this morning. Joanne Goodwin is a very dynamic speaker and a friend of this church, as this isn't her first time here, and having heard her speak a few times throughout my Bible college career, I can tell you that you will be blessed to hear her speak this morning. So please join me in welcoming Joanne to the stage.
Well, good morning. Are you well and happy? I bet some of you aren't. You know, I always used to get a kick out of that. You know, I was always living with depression, and the preacher would say, so is everybody happy tonight? And I'd think, no, I'm not. But anyway, I asked anyway. So how many here, I know I've been here a few times, how many have not heard me? Okay, so you don't even know I'm mentally ill. We'll get to that. You are really good. You're so good. I like your spirit, and I love your voice. And you're good anyway. So, but I digress. I'm mentally ill, and thoughts come and go, and they just come out of my mouth, you know. You are so lucky you came today. You know why? I'm going to tell you God's will for your life. Isn't that beautiful? Any of you wondering, any of you questioning, you want to go and see the pastor, you're trying to work out what is God's will for your life? Well, I'll tell you. You ready? Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, is that a problem for anybody? I'm sure everybody here is just rejoicing all the time, and you're praying without ceasing, and every little thing that happens to you, you're just deeply grateful. Yeah, right. Well, that's our goal, but we don't always do it. Now, some of you may not be as spiritual as me and my family were, especially when the children were little and on a Sunday morning. Peace reigned in our home. I would get up early and put the coffee on and then go to my husband, "Arise, beloved." And he would arise and call me blessed. Then I'd go to the children's rooms, "Little ones, another day in which to serve the Lord." "Oh, thank you, Mommy dearest." And everybody came to the breakfast table happy and kind and loving, and nobody hit anybody and nobody spit on anybody's food. It was just lovely. And then I'd say, "Children," and they say, "Yes, Mommy, what may we do to please you?" I said, "Time to get ready for church." "Oh, yes, Mother." And they all went quickly to their rooms. And everyone had clean underwear. And everyone had clean socks. And everyone dressed appropriately. And they all knew where their shoes were. And then we went out the door just praising the Lord. Isn't it like that in your home, Pastor? I'm sure it is. Well, you know that it isn't. I mean, we say some of the stupidest things to our children, don't we? You know? "If you fall and break your leg, don't you come running to me." Or, you know, sometimes I have been known to occasionally yell. You know, it's not very often because I'm very godly. But sometimes when I do, the voice gets loud. You know, you say, "Don't you do that again. Do you hear me?" "No, Ma, could you raise it a few decibels?" Didn't quite catch it. We don't always live the way that we want to. And we want to please God, and we want to do what's right. But sometimes life gets very difficult. And you know, then you read a verse. When I was a kid, I could memorize anything. I was the king of memorizing. I won every prize in Sunday school. I could just memorize like anything. And now, I don't know my name half the time. I don't know the children's names. I don't know the grandchildren. "John, it's you. You, come here. You know who you are." You know, it just, but when I was a kid, I could memorize. And one of the verses that I memorized when I was a little kid was, "All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." You say, "Well, why are you lisping?" Well, because I was a little fat kid who lisped. "All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Well, you know, then you get older. And if you're a thinking person at all, that's got to give you pause for thought. All things work together. You know, it would have been easier for me to handle if it said some things work together, because I can see how some things, but all things? Everything? And so, you know, I went back to seminary when I was 48, and I watched those smart people. And sometimes they look up a word in the original language, and you get a different understanding, a different nuance. And so I checked out in the context of Romans 8 what all means there. And do you know what it means? All. $30,000 in education. It says all, it means all. But think about it. This is scripture, not just a nice thing to say. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called. Well, that's hard to see because all things are not good. It's not saying all things are good. I had an 8-year-old niece who died of cancer. That's not good. 42-year-old nephew shortly after died of cancer, leaving 3 kids behind. That's not good. What's going on in Israel and Gaza, that's not good. Ukraine and Russia, that's not good. It doesn't say all things are good, and that's more than obvious. But it says all things can be worked together for good. But see, then you got to ask yourself what good means. Because I heard this brilliant speaker once, Mark Rutland. Have you ever heard him? He's just fabulous, and he's brilliant. He speaks 9 languages. I speak English. That's the language I know. I don't speak other languages. French, oh, a few phrases. Est-ce qu'il y a des francophones ici? No, pas de francophones. Ah oui, tu parles français? Wait, I don't. I don't speak French. I don't speak French. But Italian. Batti manini che vieni papà, porte cosso se ne va, porte mandolino. Are there any Italians here? Good, that was perfect Italian. But I don't speak Italian. You learn a few phrases, but I don't speak Italian. But this man, Mark Rutland, this brilliant linguist, said, you need to learn how to speak God. What does that mean? Well, he said, because sometimes when God says one thing, we hear it differently. For instance, he said, if Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they would die. Well, they didn't die, but they died. Clear as mud, isn't it? And when Jesus said he was coming to earth to set up a kingdom, they thought, yes, he's going to tear down this Roman government and he's going to set up a kingdom. Go. Well, he didn't set up a kingdom, but he set up a kingdom. Just not what they were thinking. And in Romans 8, when Paul says all things work together for good, he doesn't mean good. He means good. Because if somebody says to you something's going to be good, what do you think? Comfortable? Pleasant? Not chocolate? Lindor chocolate. Let's just have a moment to think of Lindor chocolate. But I digress. But you know, that's not what it means here. It doesn't mean all things will end up being pleasant and nice. No, I've seen too much death in my family. But we get a hint to what it means in the very next verse, because Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. I am suggesting to you this morning that good is anything that will push you a little closer to looking like Jesus. And in that context, there's not a thing that can happen to you, but that placed in the hands of God can be used as a tool to make you more like Jesus. That's a hard pill to swallow when things are painful and tough. But then I read this story of this town called Enterprise, Alabama. And at the turn of the century, this town just thrived on cotton. Everybody's business was related to cotton. It was a prosperous town economically. And then the bollweevil, the little bug that eats cotton, worked its way up to Enterprise. And they had an unprecedented plague. And they couldn't recover. People lost their businesses. People lost their savings. The town just went into an economic slump. Well, when you're in a crisis, you're forced to diversify. So they found out by experimenting that they were really good at growing peanuts. And as a matter of fact, they became more successful on the peanut industry than they'd ever been on cotton. And then I read, if you go there, you'll find a monument in the middle of the town to the bollweevil. And I didn't believe it, and I checked it. It is there. Because somebody had the sense to realize, if it hadn't been for the bollweevil wiping them out, are you hearing me? They'd have never discovered their true potential. And so I was speaking out west somewhere and told this story, and a man came up to me and he said, I'm from Enterprise. Really? He said, yeah, not only is there a monument there, but every year we have a bollweevil day. And the kids in school, they paint little wooden bollweevils and they talk about how, you know, good came out of disaster. I'm suggesting to you this morning that one of the greatest things you can do in your Christian walk is to build monuments to the things that feel like they're going to kill you. And instead of constantly, why, God, why are you making this stop? Why is this happening? Build a monument that says, okay, God, use this. Use these difficult circumstances or use this tragedy to teach me, to make me more like you. That was my phone, right? I'm sorry. You know, some people who don't turn their phones off, eh? I hope it's not my husband wanting in the door. Anyway, I digress. So I would build some monuments for you today, and I would build a big shining monument to you right here, a monument to mental illness. Yeah, I wasn't kidding. I got problems, you know. I had chronic depression all my life and trying to figure out where God was in the middle of all of that. But, you know, it was not until I was 40 did I realize, okay, there's something wrong with me. Because I would get so depressed, I just couldn't function. But then other times, I was really good, and really I could accomplish so much, and I did so much, and it was amazing. And then the depression would hit again, and it was just a mess. So I finally snuck off and went to a psychiatrist, which I thought no lovely Christian woman should ever do. Isn't that stupid? So anyway, so I snuck off and saw this guy, and that was in Montreal, Gina. And if you need a psychiatrist, So anyway, I went to see this guy, and after six or seven times seeing him, he said to me, well, Joanne, with people like you who have a major mood disorder, I said, pardon me? I have a mood disorder. I have a mood disorder. And I think you said major. I have a major mood disorder. So I'm nuts. He says, no, you have a physiologically based biochemical imbalance, and it requires medication. I said, I can't take medication. I'm German, and we are strong like bulls. And we don't take nothing for nothing. Pills. We even used to laugh at people who said, you know, oh, I have a headache. Do you have any aspirin? Psh, wimps. Wait, it will go. But anyways, and then I said, and plus I was a Pentecostal pastor's wife, and we don't do drugs to feel good. Well, except maybe your wife, but you understand she lives with you. And that is a joke. I have no idea if she takes any medication. That truly was a joke. I'm sure she's just completely normal. If not, we'll talk. So anyway, and so I said to the guy, I said, I don't care what you say. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna take medication. It's not gonna go over in my family, and it's not gonna go over in my church, and you're gonna have to think of something else. I'm not doing it. He said, one of the side effects is you could lose weight, and I said, I'll try it. Now, you see, that was important to me. I've lost 140 pounds. Yeah. And some of you say, wow, where'd you get the willpower? I had surgery. Do you know what, my dear? Can you bring me that glass of water? Because I forgot to bring it up. Thank you, my darling. Huh? No. So anyway, that calls for a drink, doesn't it? What was I saying? Oh, the psychiatrist, the pills. Oh, yeah. So I said, you know, I couldn't possibly. And you know, he said, well, one of the side effects is you could lose weight. And I said, I'll try it. And so, you know what? That was honestly the only reason I took it. Because I thought, I'm not going to take one little pill and all the troubles in the world go away. That's just stupid. But if I can lose weight. So I took it, didn't lose a pound. But I began to discover that the darkness wasn't coming back anymore. And I thought, well, that can't just be from this little pill. That's I'm just going through a good time right now. But it lasted, and like 6 months down the road, I said, this is crazy. I said to my husband, does everybody feel like this? Because people have called them happy pills. They don't make you happy. they take away the darkness. They restore to you the ability to think, to focus. Because a chronically depressed person can't focus. It's messy up here. The mind is racing or dull, or you can't. You know, somebody said, well, the Bible says thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, yeah, you can't stay your mind on anything when you're chronically depressed. So that's a great verse for anyone who can control their thinking. But when you're beyond that, what do you do? So, you know, at first I hid it, and now there probably isn't a person in Canada I haven't told, because I thought, what's the shame all about? Why the shame? I wasn't ashamed when I got cancer. Why do you have to be ashamed of this? And so I started to talk about it. One lady said to me once, she said, you know, Joanne, if you would just trust God, you could throw that medication down the toilet. But you know what ruined it? She was wearing glasses. I thought, okay, you throw your glasses down the toilet, and I'll throw my meds, and let's see who goes the longest. If you need help, you need help. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so I build a monument to this, because you know what I discovered through this? That God is bigger than anything I feel. You know? Now, Pentecost, back in the 50s, we were quite loud. How many have been in Pentecostal churches all their life? Yeah, we were quite loud, right? And see, and the preachers preached differently. They had this voice, you know. So there weren't any amens. So let's pretend we're Pentecost in the 50s and 60s. And I'll do it like the old people did, you know. I have found from this, my brothers and sisters, that God is bigger than anything I feel. Yeah, see, that's good. Do it next week. Shannon will be delighted. So, and I'm getting old, and I forget where I was going with that. Anyway, that's my monument. And then I'd build another monument for you over here, and this would be to raising troubled children. How many have heard me talk about the story of my daughter? Okay, I don't tell the details anymore. She has since asked me not to, but she was a drug addict for 25 years, and oh my, the stories I could tell. The pain I could tell. The craziness I could tell. But anyway, from this one, I learned about the power of prayer. You know, prayer is a powerful thing. And, you know, some of you have prayed for years and years and years for something. And you wonder what God is doing. I didn't wait until it was okay to tell the story. It's in the middle of it all that I was learning and growing and understanding the power of prayer. And one day I was speaking in this Jamaican church. Do we have any Jamaicans here? Oh, yeah, man. Jerk chicken and dumplings. Preaching in a Jamaican church is not the same, because they talk right back to you. You know, if they like what you're saying, they just stand up and point. What? And there was a woman in the front row. She kept getting up and going, hallelujah, hallelujah. She looked angry, but I don't think she was angry. Hallelujah. Okay. And then there was a woman on the other side with the hanky, and she kept going, sweet Jesus. Jesus, you're sweet. And they're just talking right back to you. We were having a good time. And sometimes when I'm speaking, I start singing. And so this was a Sunday where I was talking about how God is with you even in the darkest times. Can you learn to be grateful? So I said, you know, I thank him for the mountains. That's the easy part. And I'm learning to thank him for the valleys. That's the hard part. And I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. Because if I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them? How would I know what faith in God could do? And you know, most people listen politely like you just did. Not in Jamaica. Oh, no. I started. I said, you know, I thank him for the mountains. And the guy behind me had never left the keyboards. And all of a sudden I heard, wee-ah. I never had my preaching accompanied. And I thought, oh, he just gave a little flourish there. And I thank him for the valleys. And I looked at him, and I thought, he was just ready to make that organ dance. And I thought, I can do this. And I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. And the amen, hallelujah, sweet Jesus. We're in a good time. And I said, because if I never had a problem. And a man stood right up and said, then how would you know? How would I know that God could solve them? How would I know what faith in God could do? Oh, it was fun. And after me, it was a special women's emphasis. After me, there was another speaker, Sister Jennifer Duvaux. And she was even bigger than I was 140 pounds ago. And she was from the islands of the sea. And she, I think I'm fairly animated when I speak. Compared to Sister Duvaux, puppy dog. The woman screamed. Like, if I want to make a point, I would say, we have the power. But she goes, we have the power. I was frightened. I was sitting in the front row. And she was walking back and forth in front of me, spitting on me and sweating on me. And then she said, you know, sometimes I call my name into the atmosphere and the angels carry my name to the throne of God. Okay, I don't know chapter and verse. Maybe a vague reference to Revelations 5:8, but I don't know. She's painting a picture. She was painting a picture. And she said, I call Sister Jennifer Duvaux. And I thought, she even calls herself sister to the Lord. Okay. And the angels carry my name to the throne. Amen. Hallelujah. They're going. And then she did something so powerful. She walked over to where I was sitting. My daughter's name is Ginger. And she said, we need to call the name of Ginger into the atmosphere. And hundreds of people simultaneously began, Ginger, come home, Ginger. I thought I would pass out. It was so powerful. And I was thinking afterwards, why was that so powerful? First of all, simply on an emotional level, the affirmation and those people with me calling on my daughter, that's powerful. The support and love we give to each other is powerful. And plus, on a spiritual level, God always commands a blessing on unity. And when we pray together, there is power in that. So after, like, and it wasn't right away, but I'll just tell you that now she is a nurse working with drug addicts and teaching recovery coaching. Now, see, that was an amen, too. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, it doesn't always work out that neatly. I had cousins. I had, in families where there's mood disorder, you often find your, well, I have a huge family, lots of cousins, and they're either priests or prostitutes. You think I'm kidding? Some of them are just so godly and preachers and singers, and some have literally been drug addicts and prostitutes. And my cousin had a daughter who was both of those things, who was a very sweet girl, but very lost in all of this. And my cousin had had a really rough life, and she knew she had been negligent with the kids, and she came back to God in a powerful way, and she went to visit her four children who were all, you know, had been in jail, had been, She went to visit them, and she said, first of all, I am so sorry I was not there for you. But she said, I'm going to tell you, if any of you just call out to God, he will help you. And she felt like God had given her a promise that they would all come back. And it wasn't long after that that Kathleen died of an overdose. And my cousin was distraught, but we prayed, and you gave me a promise, and what? Somebody came to her and said, I had a dream that Kathleen was laying on this couch and called out to Jesus. Well, she had been found laying on a couch. And she thought, oh, God, was that from you? Was that a confirmation? And another woman said to her a few days later, I had a vision that Kathleen was laying on the couch and calling out to God. I believe Kathleen is with Jesus. Look at the thief on the cross. All it takes is a remember me. Power of prayer. And then from this monument, I learned about the power of forgiveness. And I can't go into the same detail here, but this is a monument to either deep hurts or abuse, stuff you've struggled with for years. And, you know, there was somebody in my life that I realized I hadn't forgiven. I tried to tell myself I had, because you just don't want to even think of, you know. And, you know, it'd be so nice to have a flat thing you could put your water on. But they just want to see if I can still bend. Oh, no, it's all right, my darling. Oh, look at you. Look at you. You see? That's what you call a man of God. Thank you. He just didn't want to see me bend again. He was afraid I'd go right over. I keep losing my balance. It's crazy. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So there was somebody I had to forgive. And, you know, I thought, okay, it's time. I started looking in the scriptures, looking for some teaching on how to forgive. And you know what the Bible says? It just says forgive. I could have used a few more details. Are you a Tapley? I knew that face. I know his father and his brother a bit. So. Anyway, so it's not Matt, your brother. What's your name? Alvin. Hi. Sorry, my mind does go here and there. And so all I knew was I had to forgive. And so I thought, you know, I did the best I could. I got down on my hands and knees and I said, oh, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I forgive. And I thought, there, that'll do it. God just taken that out and I'll never think of it again. Well, it didn't go like that. It kept coming back and I thought, well, what was I doing wrong? Why does it keep coming back? And then I thought, well, you know, I'd heard preachers say sometimes you give something to God and then you take it back. Well, what do they mean? Thinking about it too much? Is that what it is? Oh, I know what I'll do. I will refuse to think about it. Every time it comes to mind, I'll just, whoo, how about them Blue Jays? Just switch my mind over. Well, you know, I tried that and I got a strong personality and I was pretty well able to do that. But your mind doesn't just block things out like that. And I found myself, I woke up in the middle of the night one time, sat up in bed crying and saying, but I was just a little girl. So I thought, what am I doing wrong? What's the problem here? Well, I think sometimes we find it hard to forgive because we want to be nice people. And so we think the best thing to do is just to say, well, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad. Well, maybe it was. Or we say, well, maybe they meant no harm. Well, maybe they did. Or, well, other people have suffered worse. And that can give you perspective sometimes, but it doesn't change your pain. Because we don't know what to do with it. We don't want to, we want to be like Jesus. We want to do what's right. And then I thought, dishonesty doesn't have to be involved in drawing close to God. Call it what it is. How can you forgive something if you haven't really named what it is? So every time it came back, I just looked it in the face, as it were, and said, yep, and I allowed myself to grieve. That was not fair. That was not right. And that's what I forgive in the name of Jesus. So every time it came back, I did the same thing again. I felt the unfairness, I felt the grief, and I gave it to Jesus again. That's what I forgive in the name of Jesus. And you know what was really cool? I found it started coming back to my memory less and less. And then what I discovered in my 40s was, I can recall with perfect clarity what happened, but I cannot work up the pain anymore. I think that's called healing. So you missed your amen moment again. That's what I call healing. Yeah. Yeah. And so I build a monument. Forgiveness is something, it's not a luxury you can live with and be close to Jesus. You just can't. Some of you say, well, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. But the Lord does, and he asks us to do this. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. But don't lie to yourself. You know, don't tell yourself it wasn't so bad if it was. If you've been deeply hurt, you've been deeply hurt. Admit it before you can forgive it. And so these things are essential. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not going to forgive because, well, if I do, it means I have to reconcile. Sometimes reconciliation is not possible. If it's possible, go for it. Reconciliation is always God's plan. But if it's a dangerous thing to reconcile, do you know what I'm saying? Like if I had ever found out that, let's say my cousin or my husband or had abused one of my daughters, I would have to learn to forgive them. But I wouldn't have them for Christmas dinner. You know what I'm saying? Because it'd be dangerous. And you know, learning to extend mercy to people. Oh, you know, love is the greatest word, they say, but to me it's mercy. I have received so much mercy. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me, and it was there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Yeah. Learn to forgive. Learn to speak kindness. Learn to be merciful. Your words and your attitude to people and your kindness is so powerful. So mercy. So grace. So kindness. So faith. Words are like water sprinkled with love. You will harvest all your heart's been dreaming of. If you sow mercy, mercy, kindness. And you know, some of you say, I think sometimes the problem is you can't really show mercy on yourselves because you live with this guilt and you think you're ashamed before God. And that's not what God wants. And, you know, I carry a bucket of mercy with me. I do. Because as soon as somebody hurts me or stabs me in the back, and you think, I'm going to... And then I think, oh, mercy. Mercy. Let it go. Let it go. It's a great exercise, and it will strengthen you spiritually, and you will learn about the power of love and kindness, because it is powerful. Mercy. And so, because I have this big bucket with me, this half of the church, I'm going to wash you down with mercy. Okay? Are you ready? You ready to receive it? Whoosh! Mercy. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are precious to the Father. Do you hear me? Now this half, you ready for mercy? Okay. Whoosh, mercy. Let it drip through your pores. Let it sink into your heart. You are forgiven. You are loved. And you are precious to the Father. Precious. You know, somebody told me that once, and it did something to my heart. Because I've often lived with shame and guilt. And this person, you know, we say Jesus loves you, and that's, of course, and we've heard that so many times. But this man said to me, you're precious to Jesus. That touched my heart. You know what I do? The impact that is made on me. When I see somebody who's homeless and, you know, looking for money, so I know everybody's got different ideas. Well, I'm not going to give them money because they're going to use it on alcohol or drugs. You know what? I don't care. You know why? When I give to them, I am buying the opportunity to look them right in the eyes. Because a lot of people don't look homeless people in the eyes. Look them right in the eyes and I say, you are precious to Jesus. That's worth $5 or $10. My husband likes me to keep it to $5, but you never know. Sometimes they need more. And, you know, and I've said that many times, and the people are, oh, thank you, God bless you, you know, whatever. But every once in a while, I can tell it's hit home. Every once in a while, I see tears come to their eyes when I say that. Mercy, love, being loved by the Father is a beautiful thing. So I'm going to suggest to you this morning, this dear man who's so talented, could you come and play that one? All my life you have been faithful. Just the, well, whatever. You decide. But you know, I want you to take a moment in your mind and in your heart to say, God, what is it that feels like it's killing me? And instead of the why, I'm going to build a monument, Lord, so I can look at this one day. Not to say like the boll weevil, like you're glad it happened. No. But to say, because of this, it's a marker in my life, and I can see what you've done through this, and I can see how I've drawn closer to you this. And Father, use it. Use it. Let's have that.
All my life, yes. You have been faithful.
Yes, you have, Lord.
And all my life, you have been so
good.
With every breath that I am made,
now sing.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, sing it again.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yes, you have.
All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
And you know, as you build those monuments in your mind and in your heart, remember, all things work together for good. To everybody? No, to those who love God and are the called. And if you love God and you're willing to take those tragic circumstances and say, God, okay, use it. Use it. You'll discover the truth of Romans 8:28. So do me a favor. If I don't see you again on this side, you know what I'm saying? Look me up on the other side. You show me your monuments. I'll show you my monuments, and we'll do coffee.
It's all standing. Chorus again.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good.
say, 'cause your goodness is running after, he's running after me. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, he's running after me. My life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Oh, your goodness is running after, he's running after.
Come on, let's sing that one more time. Your goodness.
Your goodness is running after, he's running after me, Lord.
Your goodness is running after,
he's running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, he's running after me.
The goodness of God, yeah. We're singing, great is your faithfulness, oh Lord. Great is your faithfulness. Oh, we're singing, oh, great is thy faithfulness, oh Lord. Great. We're singing, great is thy faithfulness, oh Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
And so, Jesus, in this place, we sing, great is your faithfulness. We declare that all our lives you have been faithful. Even in the times where we doubt, even in the times where we question, even in the times where we say, really, this darkness, this situation. But God, as we have heard through the word today and as we have seen even in the lives of those around us, God, that you are faithful. And so, Lord, we pray today for those in our congregation who need you, who need your healing in their lives. We lift up Pastor Jennifer to you, Jesus. God, I pray that in this recovery time, Lord, that everything goes smoothly, that she's able to get back on track to life as normal. Jesus, that there's no more pain or discomfort. God, be with Pastor Shannon and their whole family during this time. God, we lift up Richard Watson to you, and we also pray for Fernanda's sister, Sue. God, so much healing needed, so much, there's so much where your Holy Spirit needs to bring comfort to people who are hurting and who are sick and who just need your healing touch over their bodies. And so, Lord, we pray and we ask that you touch their lives, Jesus, that you be with their families, comforting them and giving them strength as well. God, we pray for peace in our world today. Sometimes it seems everywhere we look, there is darkness. Everywhere we look, there is suffering. Everywhere we look, there are people who are just in need of safety, of protection, of even just basic needs to keep them alive, Lord Jesus. And we ask not only to equip us as a church to reach our community in such a way, but God, that your peace reigns in this world. God, that your people know your love. Be with us this week as we go, Jesus. Give us strength for everything we may face, everything we are facing. Lord, we declare we love you and we thank you for who you are and what you have done and what you are continuing to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you, Joanne, for speaking. If on your way out, please, I encourage you to visit Joanne's table at the back. She has some stuff there for you to take a look at. God bless. We will see you next Sunday.